Hello, I'm Sally, if anybody doesn't know me. I was asked by Cahill to talk to one of the stories, and he said I could pick anyone, of people who met Jesus. And so I looked at the long list and prayed about it. And the story is about, it's sometimes called the accused woman, and it's sometimes called the convicted woman. But it's from John chapter 8, verses 2 to 11. So I'm just going to read you that story and then say my thoughts. So at dawn, Jesus appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." So, just to recap a few of my extra thoughts on that story. So we don't know who the accused woman was. And we also don't know what Jesus wrote in the sand, so don't ask me. No idea. No idea if it had an effect. But basically, the Jewish law at the time, which digs back into Deuteronomy, if you're interested, it actually says it's both the man and the woman who are included in the rule, and they only brought the woman. So what's that all about, right? So they picked on one of the two guilty parties and put her in that position of public humiliation and all that good stuff. The woman was actually, you know, it wasn't actually about a sin. It was this woman was being used by the Pharisees and the Jewish law to trap Jesus. And the reason for that was because the Roman law at the time, they were under occupation, and that law did not allow the Hebrew or Jewish law to carry out a death sentence. So they were using her, but they didn't really care about her as a person. They were saying, well, if Moses says we stone her to death, but the Roman law that we're under means we can't do that, what do you say? Come on, right? That's what the trap was. But Jesus said, I don't know if you spotted it, any one of you who is without sin, that is any sin, not just this specific one that they were accusing the woman of adultery. So Jesus, when he was speaking, said, look at yourself. And so how does that apply to us today? And here's where Sheila's testimony to me, the thing when I said, okay, you know, what do you want us to hear? You know, what would Jesus say to us today? What does it apply to us today? And actually, the thing that came out to me was it was all about rules, right? So when Sheila was talking about when she was younger and she was looking for Jesus, but what she saw was rules, 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 rules. Do your rosary, go to the priest, you know, you've got to follow rules. And in fact, we're surrounded by rules. It's not just in church, it's national law. You know, don't break the speed limit. don't steal from the shops. International law. I'm not going to mention the US, but, you know. Even down to parents set rules. So, you know, don't play with your phone at the table. There's rules. We are surrounded by rules. And churches have rules, right? But they've generally grown up over time, and it's over history, and it's often about authority on earth. If you're really interested, I once did read something called the Archic Report, which is looking at all the different denominations, and they all exist because people could not agree on rules. So they split. So rules have caused all sorts of issues in the church as well as, you know, in the world. And the main result of breaking rules is guilt and some kind of punishment. And if you like, our very visible thing of that is courtrooms. So courtrooms, you go in, they look at what's going on in your life, what you did, and then they declare whether you're guilty or non-guilty. And if you're guilty, they hand out a sentence, right? But even if it's nothing we've physically done, I haven't been into a shop and stolen anything or whatever, so I've not been before a court, but essentially I am also my own court. So when I think something like, I really hate that person, or whatever, I can feel guilt. I can judge myself. I can punish myself. And I don't know how, you know, one of the things that gets me is, for instance, if you think about women and domestic violence, right? And actually, it's often the woman feels guilty. What's that all about? You know, we often punish ourselves because of the things that happen to us. And we can end up in that situation. But actually, what we're doing is we're looking at Jesus. We're looking at this story. We're looking at, you know, when things happen and rules accuse us. What Jesus does is he offers us a relationship, but he also offers us that situation where he says, neither do I condemn you. Right? We don't know the situation that led that woman to behave the way she did. I don't know the circumstances that lead us into any situation where we find ourselves feeling that guilt, whatever our situation. But Jesus today is saying to us, neither do I condemn you. He knows you. He knows what's happening. He does ask us to leave our lives of sin. You know, it's a biblical way of saying breaking the rules, sin. But he never condemns us. Never. And if you think of the world judges us by what we're worth, values that the world imposes, success, how much money we've got, how big a car we've got, right? But Jesus values us because of who we are. And he forgives us for all the rules we break. Christianity is so different because actually it's all about Jesus. It's not a rule book to follow. It's a relationship with Jesus. He offers us love. He offers us forgiveness. He offers to take away that guilt. Yeah? We can't earn our way into heaven by following rules, right? Good people fail. So when you look in the world and you think that's a good person, I mean, Mother Teresa was a person. She may be a good person, but she still failed. There's a bar that we all fall under. And what Jesus offers is a gift of love from a God who saw where we were, didn't wait for us to be good. He reached down from heaven, became Jesus and loved us first. And that's what Christians call grace. So if you hear the word grace, it's about Jesus seeing us, loving us and reaching out and saving us. And he did that because what he did, you see, if you think of the courtroom analogy, We are judged. We are in the dock. We have broken the rules. But Jesus is our advocate. He's the guy sitting at the table beside us saying, I'm on your side. And then when it comes to the judgment being handed out, when guilty is said, he steps in front of us and he says, I'll take it. Look at me instead of the person who's gone wrong. They are blameless. I'll take it. And that's what the cross is all about. That's what Easter is about. So Christmas was the start of the story when Jesus broke through, God with us, Emmanuel, and he finished it at Easter, once and for all, for everything we have ever done wrong. And Graham Kendrick, who's been around forever, he did a great music album, which was all about Easter. And it tells the story of Easter. So he finishes that album with a song, which when I became a Christian, I heard it. And it meant a huge amount to me because the world does, you know, do this rules thing to you. And the song is called How Much Do You Think You Are Worth? And it starts off by saying, is a rich man worth more than a poor man? A stranger worth more than a friend? Is your beginning worth more than your end? And how much do you think you are worth? But actually what it is that Jesus knows how much you're worth and he paid the price. And in the song it says he paid the price on the nail. And it doesn't matter whether you pass him by or not. He still thinks that's what you're worth. So if you think that you're not worth anything, if you don't have a value, if the rules are convicting you and making you feel guilty, then look to Jesus because he can take all that away. And it can also open doors. And just to finish on a particular story, divorced Anglican here, engaged at 20, married at 21, but he went off with somebody else when I was 30. And I felt very victim. I felt like I wanted to do it forever. I had no choice. It takes two people. A relationship broke and I was broken. But then 5 years later, I met a very nice Irishman and essentially I fell in love again. But I felt so convicted and guilty because I had this brokenness, this thing that was supposed to be forever, that I believed that, you know, marriage was a really important thing. And I felt so broken. And I prayed about it. And there's only a few times in my life I've actually heard God speak, but I heard God speak to me, which is that I died for all your sins, for everything that's broken in your life, and I can wash them away. So I felt redeemed by Jesus and able to then commit to a second time around. And I have to say, I recommend it. But essentially, rules are not what Jesus is about. He's about grace. He's about love. He's here. He's saying, I love you. I don't condemn you. I'm here to fix the relationship between God and man, between you. And that invitation is open to everyone who wants it. So if you want more information, there's a heap of people here. Just tap someone on the shoulder and ask who this Jesus is. But, you know, I look around, I see a lot of people who get it, you know, that the rules didn't do it. They just don't do it. All they do is make you feel guilty. But if you turn to Jesus, then you find, you know, no condemnation. You find the rules are sort of important to try and live that way. But if you fail, God still loves you. Jesus still forgives you. And he's done it all on the cross.
We hope you've been encouraged and uplifted by what we've shared. If today's message spoke to you, we'd love to hear from you. Reach out to us or join us in person at Castlebar Christian Fellowship. You're always welcome here. Be sure to follow us for more sermons, devotionals, and updates. Until next time, stay strong in faith, love one another, and keep your eyes on Jesus. God bless and see you soon.